Jason Tatum gets his max deal. We're still waiting for a resolution on Gordon Hayward. And Locked On Cavs comes on to talk about Tristan Thompson on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Milt, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter and the host of this Locked On Celtics podcast. Welcome aboard. If you're new, I hope you enjoy the show. Hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe by the end of it. Regular listeners, thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. It is a Monday through Friday podcast. This week, I will say, Thanksgiving, maybe I'll take a day off. Maybe. It depends. If nothing really happens on Wednesday, maybe I'll take a Thursday off. So just keep that in mind. Normally it's a Monday through Friday, but hey, I gave you a bonus podcast yesterday. So I feel like a day off for Thanksgiving might be appropriate. Well, we'll see. If there's something to talk about, obviously, it takes me a little bit of time here. I've got an hour to spare. I'll drop a podcast for you. But it's normally Monday through Friday, so if you subscribe, that's what you can expect. Today on the podcast, segment one, Jason Tatum gets his max extension, but he could get more than the $163 million. I'll explain how that contract breaks down and a couple of the other Celtics moves. Segment two, we're still waiting on Gordon Hayward. Don't know what's going on there quite yet. Looking at some of the Celtics options with that. And in segment three, I will welcome on Chris Manning of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast to talk about Tristan Thompson, who is the big free agent signing for the Boston Celtics. So far, he's going to get their full mid-level exception for a couple of years. That's a big deal. And Chris Manning will explain to us exactly who we're getting with Tristan Thompson in segment three. Starting first, though, Jason Tatum, five-year max extension. This is done. I know people were getting a little antsy about it, but it's done. He's here. He's staying here. Here's the structure. It is a max $163 million contract, 5 years with a player option for the fifth year. This is fairly standard. That fifth year can be negotiated, but generally speaking, these big time rookies, they get that fifth year as a player option. Now, you might have heard a $195 million number around. It can be $195 million. If he makes an All-NBA team this season, which we all hope he does, then that 25% of the max, which is the 25% of the cap, which is the max that any rookie can get, he will get that 30%. As the designated rookie, it's the Rose Rule. He gets 30% of the max. So the structure of the contract right now is 5 years, $163 million with basically, if it's just the standard structure, $28 million the first year, which is next season, not this upcoming season, 30.4, 32.6, 34.8, and 37.1, that's his option year. But if he makes the All-NBA team this year, that first year actually goes up to $33.4 million, then $36.1, $39, $42.1, and the player option is $45.5. So Jason Tatum is going to get paid big money. This is big, big money. It's amazing that this is his second contract. So why opt out? Why opt out in 25, 26 if that's the case? You're making between 37 and 45 and a half million. Why would you want to opt out? Well, I mean, a couple reasons. I mean, first of all, you want to protect yourself as a player. And if you can have more flexibility as a player, you take it. That's what you want. You want to be able to control your own destiny. So that's step one. I'm sure players would want to make every year a player option, but the last year being a player option gives him flexibility. Also, who knows what the cap's going to look like back in 2025, 26. For all we know, basketball can be the most popular sport in America, and whatever, the salary cap is $200 million, and all of a sudden $45 million would be like, yeah, that's a steal. So he would opt out of that to get into the higher bracket. So if he has that option, then he'll take it. It's good to be able to say, huh, do I want $45 million or not? We just saw what happened with Gordon Hayward. Why would he opt out of $34 million? There's no way he would opt out of $34 million. Oh, yeah? Okay. Now, I'm assuming that Tatum, at that point in his career, when he's 27 years old and just entering his prime, think about this for a second. He's just entering his prime at the end of this contract. That is nuts. So, yeah, just entering his prime, just turning 27. Yeah, you want to have all the options on the table. Maybe the Celtics suck in 2025. Maybe the window has shut firmly and it's time to start thinking of other things. And maybe he opts out and who knows what. Don't want to think about it that way, but who knows? So he wants to have that flexibility. The Celtics, meanwhile, you want to keep him, you got to be good. And you got to be willing to pay him. And they were. So not a surprise here at the structure, not a surprise here at the length. I know some people were kind of worried, like, oh my God, why isn't this done yet? You know, sometimes other things get in the way. There was a mad dash. It was a mad dash to get everything done, all of these other things, signing Tristan Thompson, Jeff Teague, and figuring out their other details and trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Gordon Hayward. If you are talking to Tatum's agent, you're like, yeah, we're going to do a max deal, right? Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a max deal. Let's just work out the details in a couple of days. Let me get all this other stuff first. That's probably understandable from everybody's perspective. Like, don't worry. You're going to get your money. We love you. We don't have to sign you first to make, like someone suggested to me, don't you have to sign him first to show that he's the number one priority? That's not how this goes. It's just, yeah, we'll have a conversation. Don't worry. We're not going to try to screw you. We'll give you your max, but let's hammer out the finer points in a couple of days so I can actually be on the phone with these other teams. So that's done. Other just quick business things that the Celtics did, they guaranteed Daniel Tyson his $5 million. That was not a surprise. They also guaranteed Semi Ojeleye and his $1.7 million, which once Gordon Hayward was gone, not really a surprise. Once now you factor in the players that they signed, the rookies, everything, I think they're up to 14 as far as the full roster. In fact, I haven't heard anything about Javonte Green. So I don't know if he's fully guaranteed or partially guaranteed at this point, but there's still a little bit of kind of back end of the roster maneuvering. Now, that can be dealt with. You can trade Javonte Green to a team with cap space and whatever. That's fine. They'll accommodate you, no problem. But if you need that space. But I think really the Celtics are mostly done with their signings, done with everything. So what about Jeff Teague? I'm going to talk about Jeff Teague in a minute, and I'm going to try to figure out what's going on with Gordon Hayward. What are the Celtics trying to do with this sign and trade? That is coming up next. I don't have to figure out what to do when it comes to nutrition after a workout. It's Built Bar. Built Bar is definitely the way to go for me. After I go to the gym, I pop myself a Built Bar. It's delicious. It's a protein bar unlike any protein bar you've ever had, with 18 amazing flavors, including some with nuts and some without nuts if you've got an allergy, covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, delicious, perfect for a health-conscious person, whether you're trying to lose or maintain weight, doesn't matter, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great if you're on one of those keto diets. My peanut butter Built Bar has 19 grams of protein and only 180 calories, so I know I'm getting my body what it needs, what it wants after lifting weights without blowing out what I did on the cardio machines. So it's great. If you don't believe me, try it for yourself. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Even if you've used it before, go to builtbar.com again, use the promo code again. You'll get 20% off your next order. I've done it. I've spent my own money there. 20% off at builtbar.com with the promo code LOCKEDON. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, remember to email me for the regular Friday mailbag. Last Friday, I did it all on masslive.com, but I'm going to go back to it on Friday with the split between masslive.com and the Locked On Celtics podcast. So email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. In this last one on masslive.com, someone asked me, he said he thought I was a douchebag in high school. And was he accurate? I was not. I don't think. Maybe somebody thought I was, but I don't think I was. You can go to masslive.com and find that. But usually I'll do Friday mailbags here, split the answers here in Mass Live. So jcorrales@masslive.com. So Gordon Hayward is still in some limbo, like sort of limbo. He is signing with the Charlotte Hornets. He's already made that clear. He's already thanked Boston. He and his wife have already thanked Charlotte for, you know, accepting them, and the Photoshop's already out there. Nothing's going wrong with that. What we're waiting for is, how is he going to get there? How is he going to sign with Charlotte? Is it going to be a direct signing? Is he just going to walk? Or is it going to be a sign-and-trade? Now, Danny Ainge, I'm sure, is looking to pursue a sign-and-trade. Why a sign-and-trade? Well, obviously, he's probably looking around the league to try and see if losing Hayward can turn into any sort of player. So I'm sure he's trying to figure out who in the league has somebody that maybe they would want in a three-team deal. Is there a way that another team can be convinced to take maybe some salary from Charlotte so they can sign Gordon Hayward or get Gordon Hayward without having to waive Nick Batum and save themselves some money? Because that would be $9 million in dead money for the next 3 years on their books. So if Danny Ainge can swing a three-team deal where another team gets compensated for taking either Batum or somebody else, I don't know what it might be, but if he can do that and help Charlotte out, then they'll help out with the sign-and-trade. Now, maybe Boston gets back a player. Maybe they get back a big-time player. I'm sure he's looking around to figure out who can he flip, who can he turn around and maybe acquire some picks or something in a deal where Hayward is part of a three-teamer and maybe another good player comes back to Boston. That's certainly an option. Last year, Al Horford walked for nothing. Kyrie Irving walked for nothing. And Danny Ainge said, "Nuh-uh, I'm not going to sit here and take this." And he turned Terry Rozier into a sign and trade with the Hornets for Kemba Walker. So that is an example of Danny Ainge saying, I'm not going to just sit here and take this. I'm not going to be like, oh, boo-hoo, Gordon Hayward left. Well, nothing I can do about that. No, this is fighting to the end. This is, maybe it's a Hail Mary, but this is like the proverbial, as long as there's time left on the clock, we're going to try to do something here. And so, can Danny Ainge turn this into another player? If he can't, then maybe he can just turn it into a trade exception, a traded player exception. So basically, you send Charlotte picks or a pick or something. You give them Gordon Hayward into their cap space, and you create what's called a traded player exception. What that is it's basically a placeholder. Consider it a delayed three-team deal. I may have explained this on the podcast before, but I'm going to do it again. Consider it a delayed three-team deal where you give Charlotte Gordon Hayward and whatever that first year salary is, let's just say it's $30 million. You give them that $30 million and they give you a bucket that's worth $30 million. It's a hole of $30 million. And you can use that $30 million to trade for somebody else later. You've got about a year to do it. And so you do it that way so you can get something in return potentially. Now you can split that up and trade for two $15 million players, but you can't put that and Marcus Smart together and get a $45 million player. You follow me? That $30 million is just whatever. You get a person up to $30 million. You can fill it with $30 million worth of salary, however you want to do it, but it can't be more than that. So maybe Danny Ainge says, and maybe Charlotte says, yeah, okay, yeah, we could do that. So then Danny Ainge goes, wait a minute. What if we front load Gordon Hayward's contract? Why don't you, instead of giving Gordon Hayward, because we say average of $30 million a year, but it really, and I didn't put the structure together, but it starts at a number and you can give him raises that ultimately go up past $30 million a year. And that first year salary is somewhere, you know, 27, like the Tatum extension that I was talking about. You start at a lower number, you keep giving him raises, and that gets you to that $120 million. But Danny Ainge can say, well, if you've got the cap space and you're going to waive Batum anyway, why don't you max out that cap space and get back a bigger trade exception? And I don't know what they're actually going to have available because there's still some moving parts. They signed Bismack Biyombo somehow today. Like, I don't know exactly what that number is going to be. But he can sit there and try to negotiate with Charlotte. Like, look, instead of $30 million, why don't we get a $35 million or $37 or whatever? Just bump it up. Keep bumping it up as high as it can go. Because then what do you do with that? The bigger the number, the bigger the salary. If you find a big free agent, maybe it's not this summer. Maybe it's not this at the trade deadline. Maybe it's in the summer that Danny Ainge suddenly becomes a player. All of a sudden, that trade exception almost acts as cap space for a team with no cap space, because if one of those big free agents, or even one of those secondary free agents, wants to come to Boston, then Boston can do the sign and trade. Then Boston says, okay, player X, we want to sign you. We're going to give you $30 million a year. And that player goes, hell yeah, $30 million a year. I'll take that. Then you go to that team. You say, all right, we need to do a sign and trade. So you don't lose that player. And it kind of, the roles reverse. So we'll do a sign and trade with you. You get a traded player exception. Maybe Boston sweetens that pot somehow to encourage them to do it. They would probably want to do it anyway because it's an unrestricted free agent. You get that traded player exception. Now you become a player. Who knows what that other team can do? And Boston absorbs this player into that traded player exception, and you're essentially signing a player without having the cap space. And that is why they explore a sign and trade. And that's why Danny Ainge isn't going to sit on his ass, as some people suggest. And that's why, even if Gordon Hayward walks for quote-unquote nothing, it could still be something. It just might take a year to get that player. But if Danny Ainge can swing this sign and trade, and if he can swing this traded player exception, at the very least, even if he can't bring in a player now, don't say he didn't get anything for it until that thing expires. Because if it doesn't expire and Danny Ainge uses it, and in July of 2021, we can say, wow, the Celtics got this guy. And it's because Danny Ainge got that traded player exception for Gordon Hayward. So the book is still out. We still don't know what's going to happen, but there is still hope for getting somebody for Gordon Hayward. Meanwhile, he signed Jeff Teague and Brad Wanamaker left. So Jeff Teague replaces Brad Wanamaker. Is that an upgrade? I mean, it's definitely more NBA experience. It's a little bit of an upgrade, I think. So Teague comes in, Wanamaker's out. That's a nice signing. Tristan Thompson is in, and his Cantor is out. That's a great signing. Tristan Thompson replacing Enes Kanter. Now, all of a sudden, bringing in a backup for Daniel Theis is not so scary anymore, is it? There's more to Tristan Thompson, including what he's like inside the locker room. So I turned to the local expert, Locked On Cavs host Chris Manning. He joins me next to tell us what we're getting with Tristan Thompson. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Make sure you're listening to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts. Boston Celtics bringing in Tristan Thompson, who has spent his entire career with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So why don't we turn to Locked On Cavs host Chris Manning for the latest on this move, what it means for the Celtics, what are we getting? So, Chris, thanks for spending 10 minutes with us here. What are we getting with Tristan Thompson?
You're getting a really, really good player. I thought, if you want to look back a couple years, I thought 2018, that last LeBron year where he was like out of the rotation for a while, I thought he might be cooked. Like, I thought he might have just had so much tread on his body from 2016, 2015, 2017, that like he might just be kind of heading into that Kendrick Perkins, like, right. He's still young, but like kind of cooked big guy. That is not the case. I think the last 2 years he's on the court, he's been excellent. He can switch. He's not the biggest guy, but he's going to be able to hang with some fives. Like, I don't know if he's I wonder if you go with like Theis over him against like Embiid, but if you're talking about most of the other kind of fives in the league, I think you can trust Tristan with that. He's going to unlock some different schemes for you. Cleveland obviously was a really crappy defensive team, but this is a guy that's going to know your scheme. He's going to know where to go. He's an excellent screener. So like, if you want to run some pick and roll with shooters around with him and Tatum or him and Jaylen or him and Kemba, like you can do some good stuff with just him screening, rolling and knowing how to make maybe a basic pass out of that, or he's a sneaky good lob threat too. He's not like a top 10 sports center lob threat, but he's going to catch and finish lobs for you. Like, he made Matthew Dellavedova a good lob passer because he just can go up and get the ball and he has good instinct for it. And that it's a testament of success. But I honestly think like the biggest thing is, and I think it's the thing the Cavs will honestly miss the most in a lot of ways. So just, he's a great locker room guy. He had the authority in the Cavs locker room. He has the respect of everyone in the locker room. Like, if you look at Larry Nance Jr.'s Twitter feed the last couple of days, he's like, this sucks that we're losing him. And everyone I've talked to in the Cavs orbit has like said the same thing. It's like, you're going to miss that presence. I think obviously it'll be a little different because it's new organization. You know, he's got to come in and kind of get to, I don't think he has like any direct connections with any of the Celtics guys other than like playing against Marcus in some playoff series and stuff. But I think he's going to come in. He's going to fit in really well. And I think it's a really, really good pickup for Boston. I would be surprised if this didn't work out.
Yeah. I mean, in all of the craziness that's surrounding the Boston Celtics right now, there is kind of like, okay, Gordon Hayward situation. We still don't know what the resolution is, but upgrading Enes Kanter to Tristan Thompson is, I think, a huge, huge deal. I mean, Tristan Thompson, the last 2 years, has averaged 4 offensive rebounds a game. He's a monster on the offensive boards. So he can match the one thing that Enes Kanter did well, and it feels like he's not going to get cooked on pick and rolls like Enes Kanter would.
Mm-hmm.
So
he definitely will not. He definitely will not.
That's how surprising is it that he's only 29 years old? Why do I feel like he's in his 30s? It feels like he's been around for a while.
No, I mean, he obviously like comes to prominence in the LeBron title run. And I think a lot of the times, and even for me, I just think seeing how he slowed down, but seeing him play with LeBron in these playoff runs, it's like you just kind of think some of the bigs or some of the role guys in LeBron teams tend to be older. But no, this was a guy who was picked in the same draft as Kyrie Irving, who was the after Kyrie's the number one pick in that draft for the Cavs. Tristan's the number 4 overall pick. And these were the two guys that post LeBron they needed to hit on to be able to build something going forward. And they both ultimately worked out. Now, like the offensive stuff with Tristan, like, I don't know if you remember, there's like a Lee Jenkins SI story about how he was switching his shooting hand and stuff. Like, the offensive stuff has never become like where he's going to stroke jumpers. Although he did hit a 3 before Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. That's a fact. It happened. You can find the tape. It's wonderful. But he like, developed into this like really energetic, really smart, really like solid guy. Like, I think you can, there's just everything you about him you can depend on and like need him to do. He's gonna pretty much succeed. Like, there are limitations, sure, like Embiid is gonna bulldoze him a little bit, but I like, that's not a concern for like a lot of, like, you're not super worried now in the modern NBA about just getting beat to death via post up. And the other thing I think that's encouraging is, number one, he's getting this long layoff because the Cavs obviously were not in the bubble. Number two, he played the most minutes of his career last year per game that he did since age 22. Like, he was able to play like 30 minutes a game, play starter minutes, and stay pretty healthy and stay very like active in all those minutes. Like, it just seems like he the Cavs being bad gave him a second wind in his career in a lot of ways. Because you're right, he does seem like a guy who's been around for a while, but I think that's because he was one of those guys that was part of those title runs for so long.
He hit 9 3-pointers. He was 9 of, he's a 39% 3-point shooter.
He should not be shooting threes. The form is like MKG, like with like a little less elbow tilt. So, but you know, and obviously the Celtics are not the Cavs where it's just like anything goes.
Yeah, I think it's important to have a good screener like that. Really, having that option, whether he's starting or whether he's backing up Daniel Theis. Having that option for a guy that could come in and still screen and roll and do those things very effectively without costing you on the defensive end, that is going to be so huge for the Celtics, especially now that they have, you know, one less offensive weapon to be able to have somebody that you can rely on. If you're trying to make up 19 points a game from Gordon Hayward leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you hope maybe an uptick from Tatum, an uptick from Brown, something like this. You know, you can get points from Tristan Thompson that you weren't expecting from a backup big, a more consistent threat from a backup big. And we're not talking about a ton, but he averaged 12 points a game last year. He can come in and do that for the Celtics. Then that's very helpful. That's very helpful.
I think you're gonna be able to run a ton of like actions with him like that. And I think just like anytime you're gonna put him and Marcus on the floor together, I think you're like building a solid defensive unit. Like obviously the other guys around them in Boston has are pretty good, but like you're gonna be able to build a good defense kind of with those two guys on there. And like again, like I think if in most situations, if he has to switch and like let's say like teams start hunting Kemba or something, and you need to have like a defensive wrinkle where like you have to just switch and just kind of live with whatever comes. Tristan's gonna be able to hang in a lot of switches on guards. Like sometimes he will lose or guys will hit step backs on him. But in terms of like having a five that can move their feet and handle that, like he's very, it's something that made him really, really valuable against the Warriors in those couple finals. And I think that'll be really useful for Boston too, depending on what kind of scheme they want to go with.
Do you think he's going to care if he's a starter or if he comes off the bench?
No, because I think the read on what was going on in Cleveland was I think their contract negotiations between the Cavs and him didn't quite go anywhere substantial on from the Cavs side. I think if he would have came back to Cleveland, I think once Drummond came in, I think that was kind of the sign of like, okay, like, you know, you can come back, we maybe bring you back and have you come off the bench. And that's it's just maybe something he wasn't going to love in a team he played for his whole career, a team he had given a lot to and sacrificed a lot for. And, going on the bench, there would have been different. I think in Boston, it seemed that, you know, at the very least should be like a high level playoff team next year. If not like maybe a team that can get to the finals out of the East with Tatum and Brown and all these guys, like I think he's going to be fine. I don't think he goes there with like an ego. I don't think Tristan, despite the fact, like if you Google him, and Boston people will come to know this very fast, if you try to Google him, like looking for his basketball reference page, you will get a lot of Us Weekly, a lot of like People Magazine. Cause there's just going to be Khloe and Kardashian and stuff. Like, despite, like, everything you would sort of associate with him because of that, and, like, if you cover games in person, who knows, pandemic, you will, like, randomly see the Kardashians with, like, five bodyguards in the tunnels of the arena. It's quite funny
right.
to, like, see that. And you're just like, why are you here? And it's like, all right. But he's a guy that I don't think has an ego in that way. I think he just wants to win. I think he wants to compete. I think I thought if he was going to leave Cleveland, it was going to be a team where he thought he could compete and win a title. And I think if he goes to Boston, obviously he's getting paid to do it too. But I think he was only going to go there if he thought it was going to be a team where he can compete. I don't think his role is going to matter to him.
I will say that I'm pretty happy that this happened in a year where fans can't go to the games because I probably need the full year to process that I might be actually seeing Kardashians in the building. That's not something I ever expected to encounter, but here we are.
It's one of the weirder like celebrity thing. It's probably the weirdest celebrity thing I ever saw covering a game. It's just like, you're just like very confused. Like you'll see like at like playoff games, you would see like rappers or you'd like have like Machine Gun Kelly or Baker or Browns players would be there or whatever. But then it's like the Kardashians are there and there's like four of them. And then there's like a SWAT team of security guards around them. And you're just like, okay, like, I guess this is fine. It's interesting. Also just for me, and I don't know how like Celtics people feel about this because there were the playoff battles. It's going to be really weird for me to see him in the green and white. It's going to be really like, it's like Zdrunas Ilgauskas going through the Heat levels for me in terms of how weird the cognitive dissonance I'm going to have with him in a Celtics jersey will be very weird, but he's going to be really good. And I'm happy for Tristan if he gets to win again.
That's good. I mean, I'm sure everybody here in Boston is hoping that he gets the win again. That's for sure. Appreciate you swinging by for 10 minutes here to talk about Tristan Thompson for us. Really appreciate that perspective. Everybody go follow Chris. It's at CWM Writes. And obviously subscribe to the Locked On Cavs to figure out what's going there. And it's always great to get that local expert perspective here that you only get on the Locked On Podcast Network. Chris, thanks for popping on.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Thanks for letting me talk about a good basketball team.
I like Chris. He's a good dude. And I miss doing the crossover podcast when, you know, the Celtics and the Cavs were having playoff battles. But go check out Locked On Cavs because Chris does a great job with that. And you never know. Cavs could be good again at some point. Not this season, though. he took a break from JaVale McGee coverage to talk to me. So obviously things are not going great in Cleveland. But he did a great job here. Thank you for the insight on Tristan Thompson. Thank you for listening. If you're a first-time listener, I hope you enjoyed this show. Again, it is normally a Monday through Friday podcast, though I may take Thanksgiving off this week. Maybe. It depends. Maybe I'll be too delirious from turkey and I'll want to do something to get my attention away from that, and whatever. But we'll see. Normally, it's a Monday through Friday podcast, so please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Those of you who have already subscribed, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast enough to rate it 5 stars and give it a good written review. And of course, to share the podcast with your friends, tell them that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.